Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Midnight, and we witches three have gathered around this tiny fire way in the woods, surrounded by little baby shoes. And we're going to open up our little shampoo bottle that I brought from home after finishing out the shampoo, because I wanted fresh, clean hair. We're going to put our different ingredients bottle.
Here's the thing, is that technically that would work, right?
We would have to have like a funnel of
Features in another bit. This is blowing my mind. He's right. We need a tiny funnel, and
maybe we could put some skulls on it or something.
Yeah, it's good. We'll bedazzle the funnel with skulls and put it on.
There's always like a little bit of soap at the bottom, right?
Spells have a little soap in them.
Gotta keep them clean.
Nice squeaky clean smell. A potion that makes your breath fresh.
I'm Alex.
I'm Pete.
I'm Justin.
And this is the Chilling Podcast of Sabrina. Very excited to suddenly be back in the middle of winter for Chapter 11, A Midwinter's Tale, a special episode of Sabrina. Now, you guys have probably already checked it out on Netflix. If not, go check it out right now, then come back here, because we're going to recap the whole thing for you, break it all down, as well as answer some of your tweets that you sent us about this
tweet
episode.
Answering.
Everybody loves answering tweets.
Yeah, you got to answer
tweets. The only way of answering tweets, I don't know if you guys know this, is on a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's legit. You can't respond on Twitter. That's ridiculous.
They got to add a reply button at some point.
Definitely should. Yeah, where do tweets live? I don't even know online.
I mostly have mine mailed to me.
Expensive, yeah, I bet.
I have mine read to me.
What?
I have them read to me.
Oh, you have a tweet reader.
Yes. Yep. He has a bad.
Nice.
Let's talk about where we left off on Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, because you may have forgotten in the intervening month or so. It actually hasn't been that long since it was on.
No.
But Sabrina has renounced human society, completely renounced it, announced all of her friends, signed the Book of Night, joined Satan, is now attending the Academy of Unseen Arts, along with the Weird Sisters and Nick Scratch, the true hero of Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Yeah. Fuck you. Yeah, if he was the true hero, where was he in this episode?
Saving stuff.
We'll talk about it later. Also, she has three human friends, or former human friends, of course, including her ex-boyfriend, Harvey Kinkle, Susie, who has a ghost friend, and doesn't, not important this
Roz.
Episode, and her friend Roz, who has the sight. She has the cunning that is passed out.
And she may be going blind because of it. We don't know.
Also, talk
not
about
important
that
this episode. And she lives with her two aunts, Hilda and Zelda, as well as her cousin Ambrose, and her parents.
And a baby, right.
Leticia. They kidnapped a baby. I forgot about that. I'm really blanking on a bunch of stuff.
Father
Blackwood, whose wife died in childbirth. So there you go. That pretty much catches you up.
And I'm Adam Goldberg. So let's jump into it.
She changed her hair color.
She did change her hair color when she decided to sign the book.
Right.
Got a little more blonde.
Actually, before we get into the episode itself, I think it's kind of interesting or important to talk about how this episode came about. Now, they didn't originally reportedly plan to do this episode. The episode order was for 20 episodes, for one for part one, 10 for part one, 10 for part two. And then about halfway through the production of part two, Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa realized, oh, you know what? We should do a holiday special.
Smart guy.
Yeah. And then everybody in the writing staff was like, oh, why are you making us do this? And then Netflix was like, great, let's do it. They had already shot or were in the middle of shooting episode one back. And then we're like, wait, can we switch it around a little bit and do shoot the second episode, which will be a holiday episode. So if there's any weirdness in terms of the continuity or anything like that there, it's because it's purposely supposed to sort of exist in this bubble between these two halves of
the
season.
Did you feel any weird? I didn't think it was weird.
Well, but I would say...
weirdness is the wrong way of saying
it. I thought there would be more... I thought this was going to be more of a bottle episode, when instead it was literally continuing all of the plot from the previous...
Right. Seemed like just the next...
Here's the only weirdness, and I know we're going to jump into this for a bit, but for me, the fact that she's still going to her high school and chatting with her friends, I thought we were done with that after the last episode.
Well, of course she's going to be hanging out with them.
Well, but at least for a little while. I thought she was all in on the Academy of Unseen Arts.
Well, and
I was glad that wasn't the case, because I was super upset if she was just going to turn her back on everybody after she sold the fuck out. Fought and said, "Oh, I'm not going to sign the book." All of a sudden, now she's signing the
book. Here's my problem: is she sold out on selling out?
Yeah, she undersold herself out back in.
I'm confused. Yeah. I don't know what you guys
mean. She's a sellout. Who sold out?
She sold in. She bought in.
I don't know what that
means.
She's
all in.
She's all in. Texas Hold'em Rounders. You've got crocodile blood.
Matt Damon hosted SNL.
Topical. It all comes back around 6 degrees of separation.
Hey, Weezer, man. Let's get into it. Let's talk about Weezer.
All right.
Cool.
Great. Let's talk through the episode before we get totally afield. Justin, walk us through it.
That's great. So we kick off with a little bit of a cold open set in yesteryear, where Hilda is waiting in line for Santa with Susie's father. And Sabrina and Susie are running up to see Santa, and they're like, it's a shame about all these kids getting snatched. And really, that's it. happens there.
Well, the other thing.
Well,
weird
no.
About
Sabrina reveals it's very sadly. She's like, I wish I could.
It wasn't a
what
reveal.
What do you want for Christmas? She was like, I wish I could talk to my mom.
It wasn't a reveal to me that she missed her dead parents.
No, but it was a moment of how important.
It sets up the episode for sure.
Yeah. Well, can we talk about young Sabrina, who looks exactly like Sabrina?
Yeah, that was crazy.
It was terrifying to me. It was like odd. I was like, oh, you look too similar.
Yeah, what now? Do you think that was just CG'd?
No. That is the actress's name is McKenna Grace.
Wait, that's a different person?
Yes.
No fucking way.
Yes. Of course it was. She was younger.
I thought it was just like some CG effects or something that like de-aged her or something.
No. So that's an actress named McKenna Grace, and she's almost made a career out of playing young versions of people. So she is...
That woman's a chameleon.
In Captain Marvel, she's going to be young Carol Danvers. In Sabrina, she's young Sabrina Spellman. She was on 3 episodes of Young Sheldon, which is slightly unrelated. On Haunting of Hill House, if you saw that, she was young Theo.
All right, we've gone off the deep end with this.
Wait, there was one more. Oh, Once Upon a Time, she was young Emma, and then I think she was young Tignataro. She was young Tanya in I, Tanya as well.
Oh, wow.
So she's done a lot of like young versions of actresses.
I hate to say it, but she's going to age out of a lot of those roles.
That is awful.
She's going to be old young Sheldon pretty soon.
Oh, man. Come on, man.
She didn't actually play.
Well, we're so behind on our Young Sheldon recap podcast.
Yeah, we got to do that.
We're not
quite up to old young Sheldon.
I'm not doing that.
Oh, no? Well, you're such a big fan.
Yeah. They should really rename that ship.
So to Pete's point, the flashback ends with Sabrina talking about how sad she is about her mother specifically, which plays into the rest of the episode. We jump to the present. We learn, this is super fun, I thought, it's not a Christmas tree, it's a Yule tree.
Right, and then we have the Yule log, which is super important.
Very important.
Yeah.
Because they worship Satan, they don't want us to be celebrating Christmas.
Right.
They celebrate the winter solstice, which is very important.
Very similar to Christmas in terms of its trappings.
And they like Christmas carols. Where are the Satan carols?
I don't know where they are. One of I did a little reading about this. Apparently, most of the writing staff at Sabrina is pagans, so they were very excited to write about this.
Wait, they're actual pagans?
Yeah.
What?
I don't know if it was a joke. It might have been a joke.
That's the joke.
Sounds like a joke. The odds of like actively practicing pagans is pretty. They may be like non-religious
comedy
people.
Writers. Like I don't know what the. Venn diagram of that is.
To be fair, comedy writers are like one bad job away from becoming pagans, I would argue. But
I'm sorry, I meant vegans.
Yeah, that's vegans. Oh,
okay. I'm sorry, I got that wrong.
That makes more sense.
Oh, man.
I liked how Auntie Zelda had the joke of like,
What secret? This baby was, you know, and like I had a whole lie prepared that was really funny.
Zelda is explaining away the stolen child. Yep. Ambrose is just busting balls like we haven't missed a second of his life. Oh, it's so great.
It was
stuff.
Nice to have him back.
And it's funny, Ambrose. Throughout this whole episode, Ambrose just walking in rooms being like, that's a bad idea, and then wandering back out, which is like hilarious. Yeah. I love him there. Except for later, he goes when everyone's fucking up at the Spellman house. So he's like, "I'm gonna go to a party," and then it's just his face when he walks like,
at the party.
This is a fun party.
Yeah.
no comment on any other part of the episode, and that never factors in later. Just him being cool.
Yeah.
So and then we're like Sabrina missing her mom. She's in this position where
still after all these years,
which makes sense.
That's weird. You would have thought she would have gotten over her dead mom at some point.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Oh man, I mean Batman never. Did I mean why would Sabrina?
I'm totally kidding. Course she would get over it. Whole impetus for her character. Right? Like, she's not Batman. Really she's Peter Parker. We've talked about this before.
And nice. And I do think like it plays. Her mom was in the same position that she was in a way. She was coming from the human world. She's trying to understand Harvey and his position. So talking to her mom about how it was when she first met her father and was caught up in the magic world, I think is important.
Now, Ambrose and Sabrina have a little sit down here, which I really liked. And Sabrina is kind of voicing her concerns about whether or not she should just like be totally in the school and ignoring her friends or whether she should try to be, you know, in touch with them, you know.
Well, again, this gets back to, and I want to emphasize weirdness is the wrong word, but the idea that she's still struggling with that after we left her making a decision was strange to me. That pointed to the bubble nature of the episode, because I do think, or I assume when we get back for chapter 12, there's going to be something more definitive there. She is going to be much more in the witch world than the human world.
I hope not, because that goes against the complete character we've been watching the whole first season.
But that's the decision that she made at the end of chapter 10.
But I would push back, especially with this episode, like she drags her human friends into the witch world.
Hell yeah,
Harvey rejects it, but the other two get
like
pulled
an
into
asshole.
It a bunch.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa, are you anti-Harvey now?
No, I'm just upset that he's not fighting for love. He's just all like, I'm against magic. I've seen too much stuff now.
Well, magic.
Harvey, what about love, bro? What about love?
Magic did. That's what the real love is, between a scratch and a Spellman.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
I think so.
Nope.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder, and we didn't get any Nick Scratch in this episode.
No Nick Scratch. That's how important he is to this fucking show. He's not even in this episode.
Can we talk about this for a second? Because I feel like we have a responsibility for our listening audience to give them some love advice, right?
Exactly.
If you love somebody, you disappear from their life as much as possible.
Exactly. No.
That's how you make them miss you.
No.
Yeah. And then they'll love you, and then they'll be with you.
No. Exactly. If you love somebody, you do whatever it takes to be with that
if
person.
If you love someone, set them free, which is what Sabrina did, and let Nick Scratch go on a little vacation to the Unholy Lands so he can come back and be even more Nick Scratch than he was when he left.
Oh,
and then Scratchman will be strong.
You're telling me that you didn't think like the pain that Sabrina's going through with these sit downs with him, and he's just being a dumbass like, take these pencils back. Like, that it was painful.
That
to
does
see
sound
her.
Stupid when you say it. Well, I gotta say, take these pencils back. I gotta say, I think Sabrina didn't seem really that interested in Harvey. She
what the fuck are you talking
she like
about?
Gives him a present that was like nice but sort of like disconnected.
He's an artist. He draws. That's a very thoughtful present.
I know, but she
never has to sharpen those pencils ever again. Do you know, as an artist, how nice that is? How much time you can save?
I love sharpening pencils.
I think the point is, but it's not. That's like a very light convenience. She doesn't tell him any big truth. She doesn't open up to him. She's just like sort of placating what their relationship used to be. And to
she's trying to respect him and give him space.
So I guess when you think about it, if you try to weigh the things out, on one side of the equation, she gave him these pencils that he doesn't have to sharpen.
Colored pencils.
Colored pencils. Sure. Yeah. I don't want to leave that out. And on the other side of the equation, she set up a situation where he had to shoot his brother in the face.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're right. I mean, it is kind of even.
Yeah, I guess how much does he hate sharpening pencils? More than he hates missing his brother?
Yeah.
Well, she also, over the course, we're sort of jumping all over the place, but I think that's fine. She also gives some eggnog without telling him
that
what cures his quote unquote cures his father's alcoholism, which I was like, what? This is she was behaving badly when it comes to Harvey. Yeah. And I was on Harvey's side in this. I think he made the right choice to be like, I don't want these pencils. And like, get out of my life.
Yeah, Harvey stop was doing magic. Where he's like, hey, stop doing magic around me. She's like, here's these magic pencils. And it gives you some magic eggnog.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not.
And also, it was kind of the way she like just showed up and was like, oh, hey, I didn't know you were coming. Yeah, I brought eggnog. What?
Yeah.
Stop setting fire to my house, okay? And then you look over, they're like, oh, matches. What do you think?
And yeah, honestly, how about these matches? Exactly. But seeing Harvey only made me want to see more of Nick Scratch. Especially Harvey lurking around in the background of that one shot. I was like, this dude is like the Fred Anders of Magic Town.
Fuck you. You love Fred Andrews.
I do. And I don't like the negative connotation you're putting on Fred or Harvey.
I never said that it's negative, but I do think it is negative.
Yeah, well, I know what you mean.
They're like little mops that you lean against the wall.
You're a fucking
like,
douche. Hey, you're a
mop
douche.
Over there, it sure is moist.
Dude, how dare you?
I mean, that's sort of all that happens in the Harvey-Sabrina relationship.
Right,
right.
And it ends in a place where they sort of are more broken up than ever.
I know. Yeah. It's heartbroken.
Yeah.
Heartbroken.
It paves the path for what we all want.
What you guys want, not what we all want, and the potential
Harvey Roz romance.
It is interesting that could preview that aired that was on right after this seemed to point to a Harvey Roz.
I'm into it.
I'm not chipping that.
You're not chipping that? Haas.
I'm whole Haas.
Oh boy.
Ooh yeah, Haas. The Haas is on.
So Susie's a Christmas elf.
So hold on a second. So let's talk about Madame Satan first, because we see her. She's doing.
Oh yeah, she's praying.
Tiny Satan prayer. She's like, hey dude.
Hey, what's up? I did my shit. Why aren't you helping me out now?
And then Sabrina shows up and is like, hey, can I borrow your book of the dead again? Because I want to try to have a seance to get my mother back to ask her some questions. Madame Satan does not like this. I think insinuating that Madame Satan may have been the person that killed her parents.
Oh yeah.
Mm. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
I didn't read that she didn't like it necessarily so much as her arc in the episode is she doesn't know what her place is now.
Yep.
She thought, great, I get Sabrina signed up in the dark book. I get to go down to hell, have a great time, stay warm all winter.
Yeah.
That's not what happened with her.
Party in hell.
But she says, like, I don't want Sabrina's mom telling Sabrina things that I don't want Sabrina to hear.
Right. There's definitely something going on there. Yeah. There's clearly a secret history that we're going to find out before the end of the season.
Oh, yeah. I hope so, because I'm sick of Madame Satan in this position of lying so hard to Sabrina and Sabrina just having no idea ever. Right.
It drives me insane.
But that's Sabrina kind of
such
her character,
a smart
right?
character, yes. But she's so blind to Madame Satan.
Well,
but
she's blind to a lot of things.
Yeah, I mean, that explains, to get back more seriously to the things with Harvey, that's why she does that with Harvey, is she doesn't see exactly how much it's hurting him. She doesn't understand.
She doesn't, no.
And I think that like Sabrina is inherently flawed, I think. And we talked about this a little bit in the first 10 episodes. Like, she doesn't have that pop, that spark of someone who's like ahead of the game. She's always behind the game. And we, the viewer, are the only one that sees it, actually what's happening.
Yes. So Madame Satan does give her the Book of the Dead.
Yeah.
They decide to have a seance. She has a seance with the Weird Sisters, invites them over, which I thought was nice.
Yeah, that was super nice of her. After her friends were like, no, we don't want to do a seance with you.
Yeah.
She was like, what, too weird? Too soon? I like that part. I thought that was cool that Sabrina's not really aware of, like we're saying, of herself.
Well, it's like how when I invite people over for Passover Seders, as soon as they find out I'm Jewish, I get that they're uncomfortable. It makes sense, you know?
What?
What?
What, because you conjure Elijah into a chair at your table all the time?
He drinks the wine.
Yeah.
Knocks on the door.
Great.
Good guy.
You're a warlock. So we have the seance is happening in the upstairs, and while Madame Satan has a gingerbread voodoo house.
Yeah, that she built with people and the exact replica of the house, with a lot of emphasis on the chimney.
Yeah, she has a great chimney.
I love that. I want to eat that house.
Yeah, it was really well made. I didn't know. She's actually appearing on Nailed It.
Smart tie-in. Yeah, that's a smart tie-in.
She pours water. We didn't say before, the Yule log, you have to keep it burning through the shortest day and the longest night to protect themselves from the spirits, because the solstice is when the
everybody knows
veil
that.
Between
everybody
the, knows this that. World and the next is at its thinnest.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Keep the Yule log going. Madam Satan pours water down the gingerbread voodoo house, and real water falls into the regular house, killing the Yule log.
Here's the worst thing about that. She soaked that gingerbread house.
Yeah, the chimney.
That is going to crumble apart.
Think of all the gingerbread she used in the internal areas of the gingerbread house to make the chimney functional.
Yeah.
That's
a lot.
She's a craftswoman.
Yeah, she really
is.
It's
amazing. Anyways, I think she's going to win Nailed It.
Yeah, she's going to crush Nailed It.
Susie's a Christmas elf.
Jacques Torres is going to love her.
Well, Susie is very specifically Jingles the Christmas elf, which is a classic Archie comics character. Jingles is a magical elf who comes once a year and bothers Archie on Christmas.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah. It sort of spins out of the remember the Flintstones when there was an alion named Gazoo?
Oh, yeah, that was great.
It was sort of the Archie take on it, where it's like, right. What? This is real.
Is that like Mitzelpleck?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Okay.
This obviously is not exactly Jingles, but it's another fun little crossover Easter egg that they had in the episode.
Yeah.
But Susie is so excited to be Jingles. Yeah, I love that costume.
Yeah, she really did look like an elf.
She looked great.
Yeah. It felt a little odd of character for Susie to be like, I've been dying to be this Christmas elf.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, but it makes sense. We have a flash from Roz as she's walking away.
Oh, my God. Well, first off, when would you freak out? As soon as I saw a tear coming down the eye of a wooden statue, I would just run. I would turn and fucking run.
I mean, puppets cry.
No.
All the time.
Puppets do not cry.
Yes.
That's why they're puppets.
All the puppets I have been around at my house they do eventually try to kill me, but they cry a lot.
Yeah. I think you've got
I'm always screaming at my puppets, and they're crying because of that.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. You guys... our warlocks.
That crying doll was super creepy.
My God.
Absolutely.
Really well done.
So there's two things that are going on this episode. I'm curious to hear from you guys whether you thought the two chains were thematically linked. I haven't necessarily honestly thought about it too much myself. Mm-hmm. But we have the one storyline that's going out of the Spellbed house with the Yule kids, Yule lads.
Yep.
And then we have the other storyline going on with the dude who is trying to Mr. Bartel, who's trying to turn Susie into a
wooden statue or something
like that.
Whether they were linked, I mean...
No, you said 2 Chainz, which was a nice plug for your favorite musical artist.
I love him.
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, a little bit. I think it's like Sabrina's suffering the loss of her mother, and then Bartel is trying to preserve these children. I think there's a little bit of I wish nothing would change in my family kind of a theme.
And there's, what is her name? Griddle?
Grilla?
Grilla.
Yeah.
Grilla.
Gryla, maybe?
Gryla, yeah. Gryla, same sort of thing. She wants to preserve these children and keep them. So that makes sense.
And I think that plays into the holiday theme. I will say they don't really go out of their way to connect those ideas. It's just a very light thematic connection, which I appreciate. Like, let us think of it.
I also really love the actress who played Gryla.
Yeah?
Badass. Really cool.
I thought she was great, too. I thought her introduction was weird because the way that they shot the introduction, it felt like it was going to turn around and you'd be like, oh, shit, it's Meryl Streep.
But yeah.
It was actually a pretty well-known genre actress.
Yes.
But she's not necessarily that level.
It definitely felt like it was going to be a celebrity, a household name, and then it wasn't. But I thought it was a great performance.
But she was excellent.
She's awesome.
Somebody, I also spent a lot of the episode looking at her and be like, is that Betty Peabody?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I was like, is it someone famous that was on makeup on?
Yeah.
Gryla. She hosts a late night radio show.
Oh, yeah.
Is how she's famous.
Gryla After Dark.
Yep.
I loved how she's like, got any gin?
Have you ever called it to Gryla After Dark?
Yeah, it's great. She has a horrifying breakup advice. She teaches you how to like ruin your relationships.
Hey, Gryla, my kids are missing, and I miss them a lot.
I have them. Here is Sailing Away by Christopher Cross. Sailing takes me away.
I did like how the that whole thing kind of wrapped up, though.
Well, hold on. Let's talk about it. So Sabrina Khan...
Before we talk about how it wrapped up, let's talk about how it happened. Started.
Okay. So Sabrina's having the seance. They have this wedding dress out there, very Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice, right?
Which is cool.
Yeah.
They conjure Sabrina's mom. At the same time, these Yule lads come in and they start fucking around in the house.
Trashing the place. It got scary with the knives, man.
It did get scary. So we see a series of different little scenes where the Yule lads capture the different members of the family. But Sabrina sees her mom and she is speaking through one of the weird sisters. And you see that first moment where Sabrina is like, she's like, I have to let go. This, something's wrong here. And Sabrina won't. She's willing to do anything to keep in touch with her mom. Furthering that connection.
I love that. Love that as a thread. It's such a clear, like we've talked about, Peter Parker thing, all those other comic book characters, but that's how they treat it. Like, she is a superhero, essentially, and you could say, like, there's a shades of Disney princess in there a little bit, where she's constantly trying to reconnect and with her parents and find out more about them. And that gives the whole series such a good emotional undertone.
I also really loved how they kind of teased it in that when she went to Limbo, we got to see her a little bit. And then we kind of got the payoff of that in this episode, which was great.
She seems a little bit better, looking better in this episode.
Yeah.
I should say the candle budget on this show is sick.
Sick candle budget, bro.
Both during the seance and later at the end of the episode. Candles were burning.
Going to get Meryl Streep, but then they couldn't afford her because they spent
the candle budget.
Yeah. Candle budget.
Worth it, though.
You know, when you know where your bread's buttered, and that's with candles.
Same thing happened with Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again.
Yeah. couldn't get Meryl. So many candles in that fucking
thing. Yeah. Oh, my God.
So we see the Yule lads are running around the house. Ambrose is trying to put together embalming a Christmas corpse. Always a fun activity. That was a scary scene. The corpse captures him.
Looking at the mirror and like... Yep. Oh, freaking me out.
Then we have Hilda with the kids, those evil spirits, playing some cooking pranks.
Making, again, way too much food. That is one of my favorite. I don't even know if it's a running joke or a visual joke, but I just enjoy that whenever they cut to Hilda in the kitchen, there's enormous piles of food. Mm-hmm.
And it's almost a cooking show. Like, you see her, like, legit cook.
Yes.
There's not, cutting around it. It's she nails it. Then she sort of fights her way out, escapes without any knife wounds. And then we see Zelda, who is sewing, and a message is sewed in the sewing machine, by the sewing machine, where it's like, I'm taking the baby or whatever.
This was super upsetting, the sequence, because they track down the baby to an oven. The baby is inside of the oven.
Oh, my God.
And I know it's fake, and I know they're not actually putting a baby in an oven, but...
Well, the baby was in an oven.
Well, that's the thing. And I'm sure it was maybe not a real oven or something
like that.
Or just
on, like, defrost.
It was just on 200.
Yeah, you know, 200, it's barely on.
There's nothing like a coasting.
As a father of two children, seeing a baby, even in a fake stage oven, very
upsetting.
That is
the first time you've ever been affected by a father-baby moment.
Well, I was upset because they didn't turn it up to 500 and cook it for a nice 5 hours to make a little bit of a roast.
There's the Alvin I know. There's the Alvin I know.
So then we introduce Gryla, like we talked about. She comes from the mountains. Gryla eats kids and wants to take kids. She loves gin. She doesn't like men, so Ambrose has to go away to the party. Sabrina hides in the basement with Letitia. So
does a horrible job hiding with that baby.
She doesn't do a bad job. Have you ever tried to keep a baby quiet?
Yeah, but if it spits out the goddamn, you put that immediately right back in the mouth.
Oh, wow. Okay. Man. Thanks, Daddy Pete. I can't wait till you babysit.
Buffalo Bill.
Yeah. Well, if that baby has to be quiet.
Put the pacifier in the mouth.
Hey, if it's past, like.
Put the pacifier in the mouth.
Listen, it's important, you keep that fucking thing in there.
It's just shouting like, fathering tips to two dads over here.
I'm just saying, if it's vital for you staying alive, that baby being alive, you keep that baby quiet.
I feel like it's vital. I put a pacifier in your mouth right now. So then Sabrina's mom just pops up, which I thought was crazy. She's wearing a crown. She's like, hey, I have some stuff to say. I was like, they had to work so hard to get you to show up.
Well, that's why. Maybe it was my expectations going into this episode versus what actually happened, but just kind of seeing the mother there after this whole build up this entire season, again, gets towards that weirdness I'm talking about where it felt like I understand I need to get past this, but it felt like, oh, okay, this is going to be a one-off special, fun holiday special.
Right.
Nope, she finally meets her mom after 11 episodes, and it just kind of happens.
And there's a lot of
it. What are you talking about? She brought her to the place for the seance, then if she's been...
No, I know. And again, this is my personal thing that I need to get past is my expectations versus the reality of the episode. Yep. But it was just surprising that they made such big moves in this.
Well, and it felt like they sort of burnt this relationship for this episode when you would think that the mother's going to play a larger role in the
series.
Still
happen. It's and it not might like still it's happen, over.
But I agree with Alex a little bit. I was surprised by how casually she was like, hey, I'm here to fix this situation. And not
I
really,
thought it was a great
right,
thing that
not
mother
a bigger
would
situation
do for her daughter.
So we get the classic baby in the circle, two sides pull.
The pulling of a baby. I was like, what the fuck kind of thing is this?
It's a very famous story in the Bible. It's a Bible story, right? Or in a play called the Caucasian Chalk Circle. I'm a classically trained actor. And instead, the whole move is if you don't pull the baby, then you get to keep it because you don't want to kill the baby. And this time,
reversed.
Fucked up.
Yeah.
Gryla got to take the baby.
But it didn't because they were tricking him. So it did work out that way.
Yeah, but Zelda doesn't pull on the baby and she loses the baby.
Yeah, she
but
loses
then she
the
gets the baby back.
Right, yeah, because they tricked her.
Yeah. Right.
But the rules of the story are if you don't pull the baby because you care for it, right, then you get to keep it because you're the real mom.
Right.
And in this case, it was like, you should have pulled on that baby.
Yeah.
If you want half the baby, you got to pull on the baby.
Exactly. If you're strong enough, you
but
can pull
I
the
really
baby.
Liked how the team up, like, even though she is this person who is like all about stealing kids and all this kind of stuff, the fact that somebody tortures kids makes her on the good side. I thought that was really cool.
So we find out that Sabrina's mom told Sabrina to do the classic disappearing pig trick from Willow.
Yep.
I believe is the reference there.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't know what that is, you're a real human and I'm a psychopath. they swap the baby with a teddy bear. Yep. Gryla gets halfway up the mountain. She's like, fuck, this is a teddy bear.
Oh, Willow trick.
Could also
I
be
fell
a
for it again.
Labyrinth reference.
Could be, yeah. There's a lot of swapping babies.
Yeah. I keep trying to swap my babies.
Yeah,
oh, doesn't boy. Work.
Don't swap him to Pete because who knows what he's going to do with it.
I got too many as it is.
Yeah, I'm your baby. Madame Goldberg is Pete's little baby. So the meanwhile, Susie's been captured by this demon, Mr. Barrett, who is. We don't know anything
Bartel.
About him.
Bartel.
Bartel. We don't know what kind of demon he is, except he's like, he loves wax, and he loves putting kids in wax.
Right.
Yeah.
He takes a long
time. It takes a long time.
Long time to warm up the wax.
Yeah.
If I were him, much like the oven talk, preheat the wax.
Exactly.
Preheat the wax. Then when you kidnap somebody, you're ready to go.
Kidnap should be the last thing you do.
Yeah, right. People just forgot about Susie for a lot of this episode.
Definitely.
Well, she's gone for an entire day, and so I think it's Roz is like, hey, where's your daughter? And he's like, I don't know.
Yeah. I thought you were with it.
Yeah, he wakes up the next morning. Like, truly, Susie vanishes in the middle of a day.
Yeah.
And then the dad goes to bed, not wondering where his daughter is, which dinner is what a lot of time parents have with their kids. And next morning, he's like, shit, Susie's not here.
Well, I mean, in that defense, she did stay late to work. So she had that excuse. She was staying late to work, so she might have missed
dinner.
What is
it, midnight when small Santa's hanging out?
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway.
Her dad's up. He's definitely up.
Yeah, he's up. He's a late
watching
night
Nailed
dude.
It or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways.
So the demon's about to dip the baby. They tell Gryla that this dude's better. Dip Susie.
Susie.
We like to call Susie our little baby.
She's our little baby. She's dressed like an elf, which is
kind of like a large baby.
So he's trying to dip Susie.
Dip, baby. Dip.
Dip.
Baby, dip.
They tell Gryla that this dude's been killing kids for years.
Yeah.
Gryla, no likey.
Oh,
she
that was
shows
awesome.
Up. She's like, I'm going to torture this guy.
Yeah.
So she just makes him stand in the woods with candles on his head.
One of my favorite moments before that, though, is when Gryla turns to Susie and is like, child, are you alone? And Susie's like, no.
I have a father.
And
she's like, oh, you're lucky.
Yeah. Okay, goodbye. Then, which would have been such an easy answer for her to screw up, I think.
Yeah.
And then that would have been super messed up for Susie.
Yeah.
She would have to live in the woods.
Yep. But the good news is she has a father. And I like that. It seemed to me like they took this demon and like dipped him in wax and made him a wax figure. And then it's just going to be a candle stand.
He just had like four candles on his
head. Would you like that, though? To be turned into a candelabra?
Oh, I mean,
it worked for Beauty and the Beast. Yeah, it worked for Beauty and the Beast, yeah.
I thought it was a fitting.
I'm sorry, could you answer my fucking question?
I thought it was a fitting.
Okay, yes, I have a thing for female feather dusters, and okay, I would love to be a little candle man and have sex with a little
feather duster. Oh, my God, what just happened?
I would love to be a little candle man.
We don't
man.
Have time for this. We got to get to Twitter questions, you asshole. So
I'll take
I
it, you'd
it was
rather
a fitting.
Be more of a Cogsworth.
Yeah. You're more
I
of
thought
a
it was
Cogsworth.
Fitting.
No, Pete's like the toilet brush that you don't see in the movie, but he's alive and he's lived in the toilet. And he's like,
I live in the toilet. Also.
He's also French.
Get me the fuck out of here.
Hey, please don't dip me in the toilet. I'm a human.
I thought it was a cool fitting thing that they made this guy be a human or a demon candle, basically. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Then the episode that we have sort of an epilogue where Zelda's like, I'm going to give up this baby. And they're like, no. I thought that was a weird.
What are you talking about? It was nice that she came to her senses and was like, I shouldn't do this. This was a wrong decision.
And then Diana has one more little moment with Sabrina where they just talk about what it's like to be dating and for Sabrina to be dating a human.
Well, because she wants advice. That was one of the things with her mom. She didn't know, like, do you give your friends time to deal with the fact? Because her mom went through the same thing. So she wanted, like, what was it like for you, mom? How did you do
that? No, I totally get that. But I'm saying if I'm Sabrina, I'd be like, so wait, how did you die? Because that's going to be
important. That's the more important question. Yeah. The fact she didn't lead with that was a little weird. But yeah. I thought the stuff with her and mom was sweet.
And we have the Harvey and Sabrina scene where he gives back the pencils. The Hinkle is not... they were not Hinkle. That's Harvey and Sabrina are just not happening.
Hinkle is you ship Harvey with himself.
Yeah, Harvey is fucking himself, and Hinkle is strong here going forward.
Ambrose had brought a dude home. Was hanging out with the dude.
That's
reading Christmas Story. I thought that was
Satan
that was a
blesses
big move.
Everyone. And then we have a last image of three demons coming out of the mine.
Yeah,
which maybe
like three wise men.
Definitely, but also it felt like it meant something more, perhaps?
Yeah, I think so. I think that was one of our questions actually on Twitter, so that's a nice segue. Great. This is from Pancake4Table on Twitter. Yes, please explain the three kings. Are we to believe that these three wise men were demons, or are these the negative zone versions of the three wise men? What do you think?
I mean, the way it was shot made it seem like it's something coming for our characters.
Yes.
Right. It also seemed like there were the three wise men.
Yeah. It very easily could be both. Because they come out, they're holding objects. I feel like they
one of them was definitely frankincense.
I don't know. How do you know that?
Oh, you could just tell by the way.
Sorry. Frankincense is actually the doctor. Frankincense's monster is something different.
Okay. Well, definitely murder.
Like, I don't know what you're talking
about.
Yeah. I don't know. Go ahead.
All I was going to say is I think it could be either way. I honestly don't remember what they said in terms of the solstice story at the beginning. So they might have mentioned something about that, but I don't think
so. No, I don't think so. It felt like new
information. So it did feel like it was something that is coming for the town. Whether it's going to pay off in the next episode or not, we don't know.
And we know the mines are basically a gateway to hell.
Yeah.
Stay out of the mine.
Yeah.
So I think it was a tease, particularly because we've seen cliffhangers in almost every episode of the show so far. It feels like that was a three wise men thing that tied into the theme of the episode, but it is going to tee up what happens in the next episode.
Yeah.
Potentially. This is from Tonya Joe Riley. I want to know why it seems like Susie is in mortal danger more than any other character. Is that going to be like a thing?
It does feel like she's set up as the, well, because Roz now has this sight. So her thing is to sort of be the observant one who's then like, hey, we need to fix this.
Yep.
So that leaves Susie to be the just consummate victim throughout, which is weird.
Yeah.
But I think who is it? It's Harvey and Susie are like,
right. Yeah. But Susie has her ghost friend. I think we're going to see more. We talked about this, but we're going to sort of see them form up as like the Scooby Squad.
Yeah.
Scooby Gang, excuse me. And start solving mysteries together, despite the fact that they're sort of against Sabrina right now. So I think less of that going forward would be my guess.
Yeah.
This is from, Joe_crack. Is Pete happy that Sabrina questioned Witch's obsession with cannibalism?
Yes, that was such a great line. I was like, thank you, Sabrina, for realizing this cannibalism thing is ridiculous and it keeps coming up. Thank you, Joe Crack.
Anti-cannibalism.
Yeah. And this why am I the only one who's anti-cannibal?
I think it's pretty cool.
I grew up cannibal.
Yeah. Don't insult our upbringing.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry, guys, but you're fucked up, both of you.
We grew up in the hills. Hills have eyes.
And hunger for food. Flesh.
Love to eat flesh. No? What? What? You want me to keep talking about this? You're making a signal about...
Fuck you, man. I'm going to walk out. What is the other fucking Twitter fucking question?
Chill out,
Jesus.
Dude.
One more tweet. This is from @AaronBlur. Question, which one of you guys is most likely to dip the others in wax and keep their souls forever? Thoughts, Sabrina is a mess. How much do good intentions count when you zombify your boyfriend's brother and then he's forced to kill him? And those pencils were cool, though. Yeah. What do you think?
Lots to unpack it there. I'm probably the... Well, no, I mean, maybe Zalvin would do that to us, but I feel like I would definitely not hesitate to dip you both in wax.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, cool, man.
Yeah, yeah.
So we could always podcast?
Exfoliating?
Mm-hmm.
Wax?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You mean wax to like a Brazilian wax?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep us hairless.
Who is most likely to give the others a Brazilian?
I think Pete said yes. I would never want to do that to Pete because he's very hairy.
Yeah. We should mention, actually, that we have a Patreon, patreon.com/comicbookclub. And I think starting next month, if you do the $5 level, Pete will come to your house and give you a Brazilian.
No, that's definitely right? not. No, that's not.
Is that true?
That's not happening.
I hear that's
you
true.
You can't make me do that.
Well, let us know on Twitter @ComicBookLive or @RiverdaleDark, and we will let you guys know when Pete is going to come give you your Brazilian.
Yep. That's a promise.
Before we go, this episode only, which witch reigns supreme? Pete.
Ooh.
That's
tough. I'm going to have to go with Sabrina's mom.
Great.
Nice. She's not a witch. She's the only one on the show who's not a witch.
Yep. Witch like behavior, you, Justin. Which witch?
I got to say, the absence did make my heart grow fonder because you know I love that Nick's crash.
Oh, come on, man.
Just the mere mention of him, I was like, yes.
Come on.
All right, I'm going to go with Hilda just because I love her baking. That's always a
Nailed
ton
it.
Of fun.
Nice.
All right, guys, we already mentioned the Patreon info, but we also do a live show every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Totally free. Please come on by. We'll chat with you about Sabrina. Also, check out our Riverdale podcast, the Riverdale After Dark feed. That goes up, well, when the show comes back, but we'll be doing a couple of episodes here and there. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friends on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. And we'll see you around the candelabra.
Good evening. Hand me my shampoo bottle.